Hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Again, I welcome you. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to go back into our study of the letter Q today. And I believe we're starting a whole new category, another question that is, should Christians observe Christmas? Now, this could be a controversial issue, I guess, even among Christians if they wanted to fight about it. And Christians can find things to fight about, but we're not interested in fighting in this study. What we want to do is find out what the Bible says. Now, what's the Bible say about Christmas? So we're going to get into the scriptures and find out just exactly what the Lord says about that. And first of all, I want to clear a few things up. I didn't give you the scriptures again. So you remember last week we talked about the question of what did Jesus look like? And I didn't give you the scriptures. So I'm going to do that. And then after that, first of all, a couple recordings ago or sometime around that, I mentioned something and said something, and probably a lot of y'all caught what I said, and it might even have sent me a correction or something, but I said something about, I was talking about the Lord's blood, and I want to correct a comment that I made about the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. I think I said, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I think I said that the Lord Jesus Christ got his blood from Mary, which is untrue. It's not true. The Lord Jesus Christ got his humanity from Mary, but he did not get his blood from Mary. It was God's blood. It was from the Heavenly Father. And that is told to us in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we can see that the Lord Jesus Christ had God's blood. The Heavenly Father's blood. It was not Mary's blood. If it was Mary's blood, then the crucifixion done no good, because her blood wasn't any good. Her blood was cursed. It was sinful, just like ours. So, but he got his humanity from her. Okay, so I'll clear that up. And I told you before when doing this that sometimes I might make a mistake or something, but God the Holy Ghost is faithful about correcting me. And he will correct us and lead us in the right and the correct path if we're sincere about what we want to learn from the Lord and learn from his word and learn what his word says in sincerity and in truth. And I do. So made a little mistake there. I don't think I meant exactly that he got his blood from Mary in that way. I'm not sure what I meant, but either way, there it is. Okay, and we're back on track. Okay, let me give you the scriptures for what did Jesus look like. You ready? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. Matthew chapter 26, verse 48. John chapter 8, verse 59. Luke chapter 24, verse 15 through 18. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Romans chapter 1, verse 23. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. And those are the scriptures that we had for our question that we studied last recording of what did Jesus look like. So moving on into today and talking about this thing about Christians observing Christmas. Now, let me just say right off the bat that when I was a boy and when we grew up, my mom and daddy, we had Christmas every year, or what we called Christmas. Christmas come around and all the excitement in the air would start, or at least whatever it was in the air would start. And we'd get to looking forward to it. And we had all those nights where you couldn't sleep on Christmas Eve. And all the parents and the grown-ups would stay up late on Christmas Eve for some strange reason, you know. And we got took to the mall. And I think I remember sitting on Santa Claus' lap one time. But I didn't really believe it. And plus he had bad breath, and he had tobacco juice on his white beard. So I never did believe in him. And I knew there was something up about that, but, you know, I figured if Mom and Daddy was playing in on it and whatever it was, and it was okay. We just played a game, you know. But, because when we got up on Christmas morning, you know, and you'd finally wake up after you finally went to sleep, that's the hardest night, you know, to go to sleep. And we'd lay there and toss and turn and look down the hallway and see what was going on, listening, and the laughter in there and all this, that, and the other, you know. We'd get up in that morning, and everybody would tear out and head to the Christmas tree. And we had the Christmas tree and all the little balls on it and all the stuff going on, you know, and Merry Christmas signs everywhere and stuff like that, you know, and say Merry Christmas to people and things like that. And it was just a time of celebration. But the thing about it was, is we didn't know what we were celebrating. There was a couple things about, we know the churches was doing some things, you know, and we also, knew that society and all the grocery stores was having sales and the stores was all having sales and everybody was excited about this day called Christmas. You go to the store, they have signs up. So it was a big thing, you know. I mean, you really didn't have a choice whether you believed in it because society, when that day started coming, everybody started preparing for it, and it just got in the air everywhere you went. It was on billboards, it was on signs, it was on stores. It was written all over your Coke cans. I mean, you didn't have no choice. But when I was a boy, I didn't really believe in Santa Claus. I didn't walk around denying him and calling people liars, but I didn't believe that there was a fat man from way up north that lived with Rudolph, and I didn't believe there was a Rudolph that his nose shined. I didn't believe that. I liked watching it on TV, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe in whatever the whatever the name of the deers were, or whatever Festus and Sambo, whatever the name of those deers were. I didn't believe in them either. I didn't believe they pulled no sleigh, and that he could land a sleigh. Man, it takes 3 miles for a jumbo jet to land, and he's pulling all this with a sleigh full that he could get a whole world's full of presents. Now, when I looked at his sleigh on that movie, on them Rudolph shows and seen his sleigh, and he had them stacked up as high as the back of his head back there, I thought, well, man, that ain't enough to even get up under our tree. And you going around the whole world giving everybody, wait a minute. You see, there's just a lot of contradiction going on, and if you just kind of sit back and looked at it, if you didn't take it just for what it was, you know, this fat guy gonna fit down that little bitty hole in that chimney, you know. And he comes down to the bottom, he comes out from under the chimney, ain't got a bit of soot on him. And then you got songs about mama kissing Santa Claus and all kinds of stuff going on, you know. But we went through the process. And we had Christmas and stuff like that. And we had presents, and we appreciated the presents. Sometimes we got reprimanded for whining and crying and not appreciating what we got and sent to our room and stuff like that. And sometimes we was just overly excited. And I remember one time when I wanted a mini bike, and that was when them mini bikes was out. Back in the 70s, early 70s, I think it was, or maybe even the late 60s. And mini bikes were just coming out, the old squared off ones. And I wanted one of them so bad. And we went to bed that night, and my little brother, my littlest brother, Michael, he woke up first. And man, nobody bothered getting dressed during Christmas. You just ran to the tree in your underwear. But he come running back in my room, and he said, "Hey, get up. He said, "You got your mini bike. You got your mini bike." Man, I come up out of that bed like a NASA rocket, son. And I ran in there. And when we got in there, the lights were out. He never did turn the lights on, but he seen an image of something looked like a mini bike up against the wall over under the around the tree. And they flipped that light on, and it was a bicycle. And I looked around, and there wasn't no mini bike around there. That was the worst Christmas I ever had. That boy woke me up, and I thought Santa Claus done been so good to me. I got in there, ended up being a bicycle, and it was his bicycle. And as soon as he found out he got a bicycle, he forgot all about my mini bike. Oh, so you see, Christmas got a whole bunch of stories to it, see. But we're talking about Christians. We're talking about Christians. We're talking about the body of Christ in this study. We're not talking about the world. We know what the world does. The world worships pagan gods, and they got millions of them. And we're going to get into that on this study. And I know you didn't want to hear it, but that's the way it's got to be. We got to talk about what the truth is. Okay? And I ain't trying to convince you. When we're talking about this study, I ain't trying to convince you one way or another. If you want to run in there, if you want to run up to the Christmas tree in your underwear hoping you got a mini bike, that's your business. Okay? But we're talking about whether Christians ought to worship Christmas, and whether the Bible says anything about it. I mean, seem like if it's a worldly day, I mean, Christmas don't just happen in one area. Christmas happens all over the world. And it does happen to have Christ's name in it. But Christ does not necessarily mean Jesus Christ. The devil has Christ's, and the devil, the Antichrist in Revelation, the devil has Jesus's, and the devil has other gospels. So, just because it says Christmas, Christmas, Mass, just because it says Christ does not necessarily mean it's talking about our Lord. And we're going to find that out. But what does the Bible say about this Christmas? It happens all over the world. Everybody does it. And everybody celebrates it. But what's in people's hearts and whatever God they're serving and whatever God they're celebrating and whatever they're celebrating is their God. So as we get into this, I'm not trying to talk you into anything or out of anything. Only thing I'm trying to show you is what the Bible says, okay? And we're going to study this, and then you do whatever you think is right before the Lord. Okay? Now, it's hard for anyone to tell that Christmas, this Christmas season's changed. I mean, it's not hard for people to tell that the Christmas season has changed completely now. Now, I believe there's some sincere Christians out there that sincerely use that day to honor the Lord, and I've done it myself. But it's not the same as the Christmas that goes on in society and in the worldly environment. It's not the same. But I believe that there are Christians that do that. But it's a completely different scenario. And if you're going to separate to worship the Christ that we worship, Jesus Christ of the Bible, God's Son, if you're going to worship Him, it's going to be a completely different kind of worship with you and your kids in your house. And your kids are going to notice, too, that it's not the same celebration that's going on in the world. So there's no way to put them together, you see. Now, I know there's been Christians that's been celebrating that, and they do and everything else, but it's separate than the celebration that goes on in the world. You cannot be a Christian and celebrate what the world celebrates on Christmas, folks. I just got through telling you that I celebrated Christmas when we was coming up. I don't believe my mom and daddy was teaching me anything pagan and wanting me to be a stinking witch doctor and stuff like that, but I don't believe the way that we was worshiping Christmas was the Bible sort of celebration. I believe that we was coming up with Santa Claus in the worldly way. But I didn't know anything about it then. But I'm talking about you as being a Christian and loving the Lord and wanting to do what the Lord says and honor Him and be acceptable to Him. when it comes to this matter of Christmas and whether you should observe it, what does the Bible say? Okay? So that's the way we're going to approach this. Now, it's not hard for anyone to tell that the Christmas season's changed completely now that God is not welcome in society any longer. Now, that's a good point to start on right there. If the Lord ain't welcome in society and Christmas is going on and it's got Christ's name in it and everything else, do you really believe that they stop for one day out of 365 days in the year so that they can represent Christ of the Bible, the God that they hate and they don't want for 364 days of the year? Hogwash. It ain't happening like that. There's something funny going on. All right. Now, it's turned into a time of Christmas. If you look around you and you see it, Christmas has turned into a time of revelry, fleshly indulgence, and outright greed and coveting that is shameful and wicked. Why, I mean, it ain't hard to get on when you're sitting there and you hear about it on the news. They done moved and Black Friday? Why didn't they call it White Friday? Why is it called Black Friday? And Black Friday only used to be a week before Christmas. Now they done moved it up and almost knocked the turkey out right after Thanksgiving. Now, is that greed or what? Them companies fighting so hard, they're going to have Christmas pushed back to February. And it's all about selling and coveting and greed and shameful wickedness. Now, you can see it around you, and if you can't, coming up on Christmas time, just get in your car, go outside, and look around you and see what's going on. Now, it should, when this kind of stuff's going on, this fleshly indulgence, and outright greed and coveting, all the companies give their workers 2 weeks off during that time of the year. When I was working heavy equipment mechanic, man, we get 2 weeks off during that season. And the question is, or the statement that we ought to make, is that it should be embarrassing and a shame for a Christian to partake of such things as that. God does not say for us to be and let me read you a scripture. Here's the first scripture that we need to read. Let's look at some of the scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Listen to this. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now we know that the kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of God is within you, the Lord Jesus said. It's spiritual. And the Lord is saying right there that if you're participating in these kind of things, which Christians can do and should not do, if you're participating in adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, all these kind of things like this, if you're participating in them, then you are not walking in the Spirit. And you're not, you might be saved, but you're not walking in the kingdom of God in spiritual things. You're floating around in the mire of the world. And the dung-smelling junk of the world. Now, if the Lord says for us to not participate in the works of the flesh, and He tells us that as Christians and as children of the living God, and that the Bible says that the Lord is holy, He said, "Be ye holy." That's New Testament. Okay, the Lord understands that we still have this flesh, but our flesh has been separated. And we are holy according to the legalities of the Scripture, according to what Jesus done. We are holy. But our flesh is not holy. It's going back to the dirt. It's under a curse. It's going back to the dirt, and then one day the Lord's going to raise it up and glorify it also. And we're not going to have to worry about sin anymore. But the Bible says for us to leave all this stuff alone and avoid it. Now, say you do that for 364 days of the year, and then along comes this Christmas. And during this Christmas, does adultery go on? Does fornication go on? Now, in the world, in society today, you don't have to wait for Christmas for these things anymore. That's how wicked the world has gotten and moved along since I was a boy. You don't have to wait until Christmas to have witchcraft and idolatry and lasciviousness and uncleanness and envies and murders and drunkenness. All it does is just step on the gas pedal a little bit during that season. It's just a little bit more. People get off and get 2 weeks off and stuff like that and get bored with themselves and have to do something in their flesh, you know, with their flesh. But the Bible says that we're not to participate in that stuff and to avoid it and to forsake it and to walk in the Spirit. He said, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It didn't say the lust wasn't going to try to tempt you. It said you won't fulfill it. Okay, but this thing of Christmas, does all this stuff go on? Of course it does. And you'd be lying to say that it doesn't. I didn't say you did it. I said it goes on. Okay, and it multiplies during that season, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Now, according to 1 Corinthians 5:11, the Bible says, now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother... Not just the wicked and the heathen, but this is a Christian brother. Not to keep company if any man is a called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. The Bible clearly states separation and wants us to be separate from these ungodly things and to keep ourselves pure and keep ourselves walking with Christ. Now, what's more, Christmas is also a time given over to many religious customs and traditions. It's instead of turning into like a joyous, happy, bubbly, wobbly thing, it's turned into a heavy, thick-aired devilment time of the year. When all the devils are active, overly active, and have more opportunity to tempt people to do things and stuff like that, even among Christians. And that's what we're talking about as Christians. Excuse me. Now, this is another area of danger for the Bible-believing Christian, because we're warned to beware of this stuff. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Is Christmas vain? Is it vanity? Is there deceitful things going on during this Christmas? Yes, there is. Now, I ain't trying to take your Santa Claus away from you. I'm just talking about what the Bible says. Okay? Vain deceit. And it says, after the tradition of men. Is Christmas, this Christmas that comes along, that's got so-called Christ's name in it, is it a tradition? Was in our household. We grew up with Santa Claus. Man, we eat chocolate Santa Clauses every year. Man, we had a Christmas tree every year. Sometimes we'd go out and cut one. Sometimes we'd get the old generic, the old generic fold out, pop, and fold all leaves that was in the top of the attic. Get him out. And nowadays, mom and daddy, he's in the top of the garage. Old Christmas tree's in the top of the garage out there, and just don't feel like climbing the ladder. So, you know, the Bible says, right there, where was we? This is crazy stuff. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. And it says it'll spoil you. if you follow the traditions of men, and it also says after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. So see, that's the turning point right there. That's the crossroads, is what this thing about Christmas is all about, having to do with the Christian. Does it lead us into idolatry, and does it lead us to be a railer and a drunkard and a fornicator and covetousness? Is it something that we would be doing, like following the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world? Or is it leading us to follow Christ? That's all we have to do, is just answer that question, and we know whether or not we ought to participate in it, in the way that the world presents it. Now, I believe, and I just said that a while ago, that you can have a private celebration. You could do that on, man, April the 29th or whatever. Pick a day of the year to honor the Lord. You can do anything you want to do. The Lord says to praise Him every day, all the time. But if you want to pick one certain celebration out, I don't think the Lord would be offended about you celebrating and giving gifts to your children and each other and stuff like that. The Lord had the Israelites do that. They had feasts all the time. That's one thing that's wonderful about the Lord we're going to have in the millennium. We're going to have feast days. The Lord's all for getting together and having fellowship and eating. But He's not for idolatry, and He's not for witchcraft, and He's not for drunkenness, and He's not for envying each other, and He's not for being unthankful and going out and spending a whole bunch of money that you don't have, and getting yourself in debt and acting like you're somebody that you're not. He's not for any of that. And there's no way to work it together. The Bible says that you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. In other words, you can't mix them. If you're walking with the Lord, you can. If you're walking with the Lord and the Lord's Christmas, then you can't walk with the world's Christmas, because they're two different celebrations. They're not the same. And you can't mix them. You have to just pick one or the other. You can't mix them, because they don't go together. It's like oil and water. You can put them in the same cup, but they're never going to mix. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 through 8. Listen to this. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor a covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see, the thing about it is that the Bible teaches us as Christians that we're supposed to take the road that follows Christ and follows what the Bible says, and the path, the narrow path that the Lord tells us to follow. Now, when it comes to Christmas and talking about Christmas, the first thing that you think of is the world's Christmas. Santa Claus and reindeers and elves and all these things. Is that the path of following Christ? If it is, fine. If it's not, then we need to talk about it. We need to think about it. We need to compare it with Scripture, because we want to be pleasing to the Lord. There's not one day of the year you can put God in the closet and do what you want to. That's not the God that we worship. You can't do that. You either love the Lord all the time, or either you're fake. I mean, in your marriage or in your relationship, you don't let off one day of the year to where you can go fornicate and then come back and everything's hunky-dory, right? That's not the way it works. Now, some people in the world probably do and have a good time doing it. All them husband traitors and wife traitors and all that kind of garbage. But what does the Bible say? This has been our approach on all of the questions prior to this one, and will be our approach now, no matter what the outcome. What saith the Lord? So let's see some things. First of all, does the Bible mention Christmas anywhere? Seems like if it's a celebration that the Lord would want us to celebrate, the Lord's never hidden anything or hide anything in a corner or in a closet about a celebration. When the Lord told the Jews to celebrate, he said, celebrate, man, and call it this day. The Feast of Tabernacles, Passover, all the rest of them. The Lord named them and said, and I want you to eat and feast and have joy and celebrate for 7 days in a row. Have you ever tried to celebrate for 7 days in a row? That'd be pretty hard. Not for the world. The world just get over their hangover, take some aspirin, and get another six-pack. But as a Christian, the Lord's all for celebrations for the right reasons. But does the Bible mention Christmas anywhere? Seemed like if it was going to be a celebration that was appropriate to the Lord, it'd be told to us, wouldn't it? Well, guess what? The Bible doesn't mention Christmas not one time. Nowhere. Anywhere. Anytime. Anywhere. Anyhow. It's not there. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about Christmas. And a day that is set aside for celebrating Christmas. Nowhere. Did the Lord in his word ask us to remember to observe Christmas? Now the Lord did in his word leave us with some things to observe. For instance, communion. The Lord said that we should remember that and partake of the Lord's Supper. And to remember, there are some symbolic things that the Lord set aside for us to come together and remember. But not Christmas. It's not there. The Lord never brings it up. He never tells us to observe his birth or Christmas. He did not and does not. Find it. Show it to me. Even his birth, when the Lord was born, and the Bible talks about his birth in Matthew, talks about the wise men coming, talk about the shepherds coming. That was two different times that we'll talk about here. But talks about all this. It's never, ever brought up again. The Lord, whenever he presented himself to John the Baptist for his ministry, when he was up to 12 years old and he was found in the temple, it's never brought up as a conversation of his birth. And from age 12 all the way up to age 30, when the Lord presented himself there in Jordan, or at Jordan, when John the Baptist was baptizing and started his ministry before he was going to go to the cross and he went preaching, it's never brought up. The Lord never talked about it to his apostle, his birth and being born in a manger. He never talked about it. Matter of fact, he never brought up his mother. The issue of Mary never was a conversation. Matter of fact, when it was going to be tried to become a conversation, he said, look around you. He said, this is my mother and my brethren. Talking about the people. He never made no big deal out of Mary. He never made no big deal about talking about his birth. And he never, ever said, come together in the world and have a celebration called Christmas. It's not in the Bible. Now, does the Lord anywhere of the Old Testament or any of the Old Testament people or any of the New Testament people ever bring up the subject or celebration of Christmas? The Lord never brought it up. The Lord never talked about it. In the Old Testament, none of the prophets ever prophesied about it, never talked about it. None of the New Testament people, none of the apostles ever talked about it. A celebration called Christmas. Never talked about it. None of the writer and the none of the Pauline epistles talk about it. It's never mentioned anywhere. Do any of the hymns speak about Christmas in your hymn book? You say, well, there's a lot of hymns in there. Yeah, but they don't talk about Christmas and a celebration of coming together as Christians to observe something called Christmas. They talk about the Savior being born and talk about Christians and talk about the birth of Christ, but they do not talk about Christmas. And let me stop right there and give you two instances where they do. I looked through all the hymns in the hymn book that I could find in my hymn book. And the only two songs that have the word Christmas in them is the first one is called O Little Town of Bethlehem. You know that. And that you sing during the Christmas season. O Little Town of Bethlehem. All the churches, all the pagan churches sing it. All of your apostate fundamental churches sing it. And everybody sings it. And the only time that Christmas is ever spoken of in all out of all four verses is in verse 4. But then it's not speaking about a celebration of the day of Christmas or the celebration of Christmas itself. It's talking about angels. O Little Town of Bethlehem, in the fourth verse, speaking of angels, it says Christ Mass. It does not use the word Christmas. It says Christ dash Mass. Did you know that? Why didn't you know it? Christmas is not mentioned in the hymnals, in the songs that celebrate the Lord, in the songs that are spiritual songs. It's not mentioned. Except, O Little Town of Bethlehem, in the fourth verse, and it's speaking of angels, and it says, Christ Mass. And there's one other. It's a song called, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And it uses Christmas in the title. Okay. And in the first verse, it's speaking of bells and carols. It's not speaking of Christ. Or Christmas. It's speaking of bells and carols. And when it mentions Christmas, it says Christ dash Mass. Christ Mass. Not Christmas. Christ Mass. That's the only two places, and I went through the whole hymn book. Now you look through it and see if you can find any. I didn't find them. I found two songs that had anything to do with Christmas, and they said Christ Mass. And in both instances, they weren't talking about Jesus Christ. They were talking about speaking of angels and speaking of bells and carols. That's what I found. If you find something different, tell me about it. But that's in the hymnals. Does the Bible mention Christmas anywhere? No. Did the Lord mention it? No. Does the Lord or any of the Old Testament people or any of the New Testament people bring the subject of celebration of Christmas? Is it ever mentioned? No, not anywhere. Does any of the hymns speak about Christmas? No. They don't talk about Christmas and the celebration of Christ being born. They talk about angels, and they call it Christ Mass. And they talk about speaking of bells and carols, and they call it Christ Mass. In two songs out of the whole hymnal. What does that stuff tell you? Now, remember what we're talking about. We're talking about the question, should Christians observe Christmas? Well, Christ didn't. All the apostles didn't. All the prophets did not. Everywhere in your hymn book, it does not say, celebrate Christmas. It sings about the birth of your Savior, but it doesn't say celebrate Christmas. And you wonder, all of y'all are saying, now I know where Ebenezer Scrooge got in the picture. That's all right. Should not a Christian or a Bible believer find it kind of odd that the biggest celebration of the year called Christmas is not mentioned in the Holy Scriptures anywhere? Yet there are masses of believers that celebrate this day. What are they celebrating in the name of Christmas? What do you celebrate? If you celebrate Christmas, what are you celebrating? You say, well, I'm celebrating the birth of Christ. Okay. But the world's not. If you think that the world is celebrating Jesus Christ, you're a fool. And you're lying to yourself because they're not. The name Christ is out there, but it ain't the Christ that we worship, and it ain't the Christ of the Bible. You mean to tell me that the world hates and despises and would crucify him again for 364 days of the year, and in one special day, they put aside and bow the knee to him? You think you really think that? Now, we know that what the world and the false Christ celebrate, we know what they celebrate. But that's the world. The world does not care about the Christ of the one and true God, and definitely do not celebrate him. They celebrate their false gods and their devilment. The question is, should Christians celebrate Christmas? The answer to this question, well, we're going to have to go by two things to get an answer. First of all, what does the Bible say about it? We see that the Bible says absolutely nothing. The Bible is not a help to us when it comes to whether we should celebrate Christmas or not. As far as the word Christmas and the meaning of what the word Christmas is, the Bible does not define Christmas. There's no such word in there. It doesn't define it. It's not an issue. It's not a subject in the Bible. Look it up. Get your Bible out and study your Bible and find out if the word's Christmas. And all you got to do is get a concordance and see if the word Christmas is in there. Every word in the Bible is in a concordance. If the word Christmas is in the Bible, it'll be in your concordance. See if it's there for yourself. Don't take my word for it. You shouldn't. I mean, I ain't going to lie to you, but you see that I will correct things that I say that are wrong, but I said that I've looked it up and I've studied it, and it's not there. Look it up for yourself and see if I'm right. To answer this question, we're going to have to ask two questions. First, does the Bible say anything at all? No, it does not. Absolutely nothing. Secondly, we're going to briefly investigate how the word Christmas has come about and who else uses it. And you say, oh, no, here we go. Well, we got to. The Bible don't talk about it. And Christians do celebrate this thing called Christmas. What are they celebrating? There's nothing in the Bible to celebrate Christmas. So what are they celebrating? Churches have it written all over the place, have stuff hanging all over the church one time a year and all this stuff going on. What are you celebrating? So we're going to have to look at the word Christmas and see where it comes from and who else uses it. The bottom line is that the word Christmas is a shortened form of Christ's Mass. If you look it up and you do a word study of Christmas and you follow it back, it's going to lead you to the same place no matter what route it takes. There's several different routes the word Christmas comes from. But when you get all the way down to the generic root of the word, as far as I know, now I ain't no stinking Greek and I ain't going to be. And I ain't smart enough. I ain't trying to be smart enough to know. Don't know enough. I'm not gonna study Christmas in depth. You got it? It's not that important to me. And from everything that I've found out so far in this study that I have put together, that the Holy Ghost has led me to put together, it's not important enough for a Christian to go into and try to study because it doesn't lead to Christ. It leads to paganism. It leads to the Roman Catholic Church. It leads to Christ's Mass. M-A-S-S. Christ's Mass. It's something that come from a word called Christus Maesa or whatever, Mesa. I don't know how to say it. It's a Middle English word as it was first recorded in the year of 1038. This was followed by an old English word, and you wonder why I'm giggling, because it's something to me that I would even study any of this stuff. But the Lord has led me to study it, to put this study together for you. And as far as I'm concerned, they can keep all their Christ Mass and all that stuff, because I ain't interested in it. If it doesn't go, if the Bible never talks about it, I don't want nothing to do with it. And you shouldn't either, but since we're in this study, let's go ahead and look at it and see what it says. It's a Middle English word as it was first recorded in 1038. Now, if you're a smart person and you know more about this stuff and you've studied it in depth and everything, and I say something wrong, write me and correct me, and I'll correct it. But this is the information that I got on the matter, okay? But now when it comes to the Bible, I ain't got nothing to give you. It's not there. But let's study what we got. Christus, C-R-I-S-T-E-S, capital M-A-E-S-S-E. A Middle English word, Christ, Massa, or however you say it. Word as it was first recorded in the year 1038. Now, this was followed by an Old English word that's spelled C-R-I-S-T-E-S, Christus, dash Mesa, M-E-S-S-E. And that was in the year 1131, which literally has a meaning of Christ's Mass, according to the Catholic Encyclopedia. Go get you a Catholic Encyclopedia and see if that's what it means. Or either forget it. The origin of Mass, M-A-S-S, is not entirely clear. It comes from the Latin word Missa, M-I-S-S-A. But there are several competing theories, and it always gets all kind of mixed up in this kind of stuff. We talked about that when we were studying the sexes, remember? And how the devil tries to mix you all up. See, God's not the author of confusion. And he didn't ever try to confuse us. God the Holy Ghost always tries to say that if it's worth talking about, it's worth understanding. And he tries to keep it simple for us because we're human. And the foolishness of God is smarter than the wisdom of men, the Bible says. The Holy Ghost doesn't ever try to confuse us about a matter. If it's worth talking about and he wants us to have knowledge of it and wants us to understand it, he tells it to us in a simple way to where we can get it. But how come they never brought Christmas up? But anyway, the origin of Mass is not entirely clear. It comes from the Latin Missa. But there are several competing theories as to where Missa is supposed to mean. First of all, some say it's a form of the Latin verb mittere, M-I-T-T-E-R-E, which has already got me disinterested. I don't want nothing to do with it, but I'm saying it for our sake of this study. In which case, it would mean something that has been sent. But it cannot refer to Christ himself because Missa is grammatically feminine. Now see, when it comes to me wanting to know something, me personally, and I'm telling you about Thurman, T.V. Compton, Brother Thurman, when it starts talking about words being feminine and being masculine, I ain't interested. It's just the way I am. And I don't care if what is it, Mr. Word and Mrs. Word? Now, I understand what it's saying, kind of, as far as feminine and masculine. It couldn't be Christ himself in it talking about Christ because Missa is a feminine word, okay? But I would have already stopped this if the Lord hadn't led me into this. Secondly, when we're talking about what does Missa mean, M-I-S-S-A. Firstly, it can't be talking about Christ because it's a feminine word. Secondly, others say that it's a late form of the Latin word missio, M-I-S-S-I-O, meaning dismissal. Now, this is supported by the fact that Catholic masses are traditionally concluded with the words ite missa est, which is some kind of saying that the priest says, I-T-E, comma, M-I-S-S-A-E-S-T, ite missa est, which would mean go, the dismissal is made. That's what he's saying, and I guess this is Roman stuff, Latin. And he's telling the people, get out of here. It's over with. Go. The dismissal's made. The bell's ringing. You're dismissed. And this is what this interpretation, provided this interpretation's correct. All right. And lastly, another explanation is that it is, in fact, a Hebrew word, missa, M-I-S-S-A-H, which means unleavened bread, which God commanded to be offered with the Passover sacrifice in the book of Exodus. Now, all this stuff comes from a guy named Jacob Marion, and he studies this etymology stuff, and I got it from him. Okay, when it comes to Christmas and the study of the word Christmas, Christ Mass. Okay, but why are we talking about Christ Mass whenever we ask the question, should Christians observe Christmas? See, we began studying the scriptures in Galatians and 1 Corinthians, and then we went and we said, well, does the Bible talk about Christmas? No, it don't. Well, does the hymnals talk about Christmas? No, they don't. Well, does the prophets talk about it? No, they don't. Well, does the New Testament people? No, they don't. Does the apostles? No, they don't. Did Jesus? No, he didn't. And we ended up at Christ Mass. And this guy here says that it comes from a word mass, Christ Mass, from a Catholic encyclopedia. And I'm sure that you can go a million other miles and a million other theories and a million other explanations and blah-bitty, 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 blah. But it don't lead to Christ. Not the Christ of the Bible. Let's take a look at one more thought and lay this question to rest. Christmas and its pagan traditions. Now, we've already tried to find it in the Bible. It's not there. Okay? And if you got an explanation for all this and I'm saying something wrong, get a hold of me and correct me. But I couldn't find it nowhere. Okay? So we have to go about the Christ Mass, and that ends up taking us to the Catholic Encyclopedia, which ends up taking us to these words that we just got through looking at, and nobody's sure about it. Okay, so let's look at this other thing. And it's funny because when we go into this part of the study, it's going to get real clear. Because they're not ashamed of it. And what I'm talking about is going into the pagan traditions of Christmas. It gets real clear. It's out in the open. It's all over the place. Now, why is that? What does that say to you? The question is, should Christians observe Christmas? Well, there's no Christmas for Christians to worship. There's no Christmas for Christians to observe. But when it comes to the Catholic Encyclopedia, we start getting into some things and some definitions and some word studies. And then when we get into the Roman Catholics and the birth of Christ and stuff like that, did you notice that all the definitions of the words were Roman Catholic affiliated? Also, did you notice that the birth of Christ is never mentioned anywhere? Even in that word study, that little short word study right there, the birth of Christ was never brought up. Now, what we're going to do is one more thing. And we're talking about, remember that and keep that in the back of your mind. Should Christians observe Christmas? It's not a matter of whether Christians, so far, it's not a matter of whether Christians should observe it. There's nothing to observe. Okay, now, let's take a look at one more thought, like we said, okay, and let's lay this question to rest. Now, we've talked about a few things in the Scriptures, and we read out of Galatians about the works of the flesh and the adultery and fornication and all, and that stuff, the hatred, witchcraft, and variance, and as I told you before in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, well, us being Christians, we don't want nothing to do with that anyway. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, it says, "But now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man be called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or an extortioner, no, with such a one not to eat." Okay, Lord, we'll obey that. But what's that have to do with Christmas? And it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Okay, we agree. Lord, we're following you. If it's not after Christ, then we don't want nothing to do with it. Especially if it's traditions of men and the rudiments of the world and philosophy and vain deceit. Okay, we're following the Lord and not being belligerent about it or smart-aleck about it. We're following our Lord. But when it comes to this question, should Christians observe Christmas, we don't have anything to stand on yet. We don't have any answers. The only thing we know is that we're not to follow philosophy and vain deceit and traditions of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So far, we don't have anything identifying Christ. We have the word Christ, Christ Mass, a word study done on that, and then Roman Catholic stuff having to do with the where the birth of Christ is never mentioned. And now we're in the pagan realm of Christmas, and we're going to find some more out about that. But first thing we're going to do is stop right now. And that's the introduction to our question. How about that? Should Christians observe Christmas? We don't have no answer yet. What is Christmas? We've seen what we've defined so far. If you have a better explanation, send it to me. But this is what I've gotten so far. As far as Christmas, Brother Thurman, do you observe Christmas? Well, what is Christmas? I don't know what it is. But when we get into this pagan part, it's going to get real clear what the world means about it. But when it comes to a Christian and understanding Christmas as a Christian, there's no such thing. It's not there. So I don't know what to think about it. If I get invited to people's houses to worship the Lord and we have a meal and exchange gifts, yeah, I participate in that because I love the Lord. And I don't mind giving anybody any gifts. And the Lord says that any gift that you give won't turn anywhere in a bad way. Giving gifts is always acceptable in the Christian realm. Yes. But in the name of Christmas? Where'd you get that from? It's not there. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to study some more on this. And we're going to get on into it a little bit more on the next recording. And we're going to talk about the pagan part of it. And you'll see what I'm talking about. It gets pretty clear there. Okay, and we're going to look over what God's Word says and what the Scriptures say about it, and we're going to put these things together, and we're going to come up with an answer. All right, so I hope you ain't mad. Hope you ain't mad at me. If you are mad at me, just think about my childhood and running for that mini bike. Okay, and you can get you a little giggle in that. It was funny, though. It was funny as could be. But we had some times. We had some good times. But we was kids. We didn't know anything about that. And I know my mom and daddy wasn't worshiping no devils. But it was pagan. It was worldly. If you talked about the Lord and said anything blasphemous about God in our family, you got slapped in the mouth. You weren't allowed to talk about God in a bad way. We didn't do that. But we didn't worship Catholicism. We didn't worship idols. We didn't know what we was doing. We didn't believe in Santa Claus, but we gave him a little respect. But, when I sat on his lap and seen that stinking tobacco juice in his white beard, I gave up on Santa Claus, man. I didn't believe he had no elves, and I didn't believe no reindeer could stop on a landing strip on top of a house with snow on it. That's ridiculous. But I was a kid, better things have come. So, anyway, I hope y'all have a good evening, and we'll get on into this some more on the next recording and carry this thing through and find out what this thing about Christmas is all about. Because the Lord sure don't talk about it. And we want to believe what the Lord believes and what the Lord says, right? God bless all of you. Had a pretty good time today, but this stuff sure is aggravating sometimes, trying to figure out how the world says things and how our Bible says things, isn't it? But we'll figure it out. Just stay with it. I'll talk to you on the next recording. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.